D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan, pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, by Sportsnet, NHL Insider, Elliot Freeman, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Elliot, thank you for your time. I know that you are. If you're not at your cottage already, I'm sure you're on your way for a well-deserved summer vacation. So we're glad we could have you on one more time before the season ends.
I should state for the record, Adam, that I don't own a cottage. So I'm not on my way there.
Fair enough. But you still deserve a well-deserved break for all that you do for us hockey fans during the course of the season. So let's start with this, Elliot. I was a bit underwhelmed by free agency day yesterday. I thought that with the cap going up and teams flush with more cap space that they may spend more freely, as we have seen in the past. I'm wondering if it was just the underwhelming nature of the players available, especially after all of the top players like Mitch Marner and all of the Florida Panthers players re-signed, or maybe these teams are saving up their money for next free agency when there are a lot of really good players on the market. What was your read on why free agency seemed to be a little bit underwhelming yesterday?
Well, I think you hit on a lot of the reasons right there in your opening monologue there, Adam. I think a lot of what you said played factors. And number one is that the cap took its first big jump. It's going to take bigger jumps next year. Number two, next year's class, depending on what everyone decides to do, is a massive class, though I think we are going to see some of those guys sign well in advance. But I think number three, and this is not an insignificant thing, I think that even though this year it took a big jump, I'm not convinced there's a lot of teams that thought there were a lot of people out there who really deserved the kind of huge windfall that could potentially come with this. I think teams were really trying to be careful. There's still one more big deal that's going to get signed here, and that's with Nick Ehlers. But I think other than really Marner or some of the Florida guys who stayed, I think teams were saying, if we're going to blow our budgets, who here really deserves that, or who here really fits with that? And that's why I think you saw a lot of cautious plays yesterday.
So, Elliot, a few days ago, the Predators swing a trade with the Vegas Golden Knights, acquiring defenseman Nick Hague for Colton Sissons and Jeremy Lauzon. Yep. The Predators then signed Nick Hague to a 4-year contract with a $5.5 million cap hit. And I'll admit, Elliot, when I saw those terms, my eyes bulged out of my head, figuratively, of course. Mm-hmm. I was shocked by that number. My question to you is, I know that Vegas had to maneuver their roster to make room for Mitch Marner. How much interest was there in Nick Hague? Because I'm wondering if the Predators may have had to go higher on the contract to ward off some other competitors for his services.
There was a lot. There was an awful lot. And, there were a lot of teams that knew that Nick Hague was going to be available. And because Vegas, Kelly McCrimmon talked a bit yesterday after they signed Marner, he told a bunch of guys they weren't getting traded. He told William Karlsson they weren't getting traded. He told Thomas Hertl he wasn't getting traded. he told, there was one more, I think. There was one more forward that he told was not getting traded. And so you look down your roster and you're suddenly saying, okay, well, somebody's got to get traded for this to work. Who's it going to be? And it came down to Nick Waugh and Nick Hague. And I'll say this. I think there was a lot of interest in Hague. And I think one of the things that happened was that he could have gone. Nick Hague could have gone to Calgary, because the guy that Vegas really wanted was Rasmus Anderson, who's the Calgary Flame defenseman, the right-hand shot. But they couldn't work out a trade. And I think if Nick Hague had indicated he was willing to sign long-term in Calgary, then he would be there. I think it's possible there were other teams. I haven't confirmed this, Adam, but I've heard from other teams that it was indicated to them that Nick Hague probably wasn't going to sign there long-term either. So I think in some ways it's a real feather in Nashville's cap that he was willing to do it because he was a year away from unrestricted free agency and he had options. And I believe he indicated to some other places he would go there for a year, but no guarantees. But obviously that wasn't the case with Nashville. He was willing to sign long-term there.
The other move the Predators made in free agency, they signed Nick Perbix to a two-year contract with a $2.75 million cap hit. Personally, Elliot, I like this signing. I like what Perbix brings to the table. Our esteemed afternoon drive host, Jared Stillman, he was trying to poke holes in this yesterday. He goes, wait a minute. So you're telling me this Perbix guy, he's 27 years old, and he's a young 27. He's a right-handed defenseman. Those don't grow on trees. And the Predators were able to get him for just 2 years and $2.75 million per season. Something must be wrong with him. What was the market on Nick Perbix in free agency?
The thing I would say to Jared is that, you know, points in this league get you paid, right? Points or winning. Like, the thing about Nick Hague is that Nick Hague has been an important piece on a winning team. I saw the reaction to Nick Hague's contract the other day, and everybody can feel what they want. I don't have any problem with that. Nick Hague was getting that from somewhere. He was getting, like, if you wanted to be in the market on this player, that it was going to cost you that. And time will tell. But I think Nick Hague's a really good player. I think he's competitive. I think he's a bit of a firebrand. Like, I saw him in a lot of big series where he played well. Now, the one thing that's going to happen here in Nashville is he's going to be asked to play a bigger role. So, he'll have to deliver, but he's definitely got the talent to do that. The thing to me with Perbix is the reason I wasn't surprised about that contract, Adam, is that there's not, as you said, he's a young 27 because he doesn't have a long resume, right? Like, he wasn't with the Lightning when they were winning Stanley Cups. He's never really been asked to play a bigger role, but he's a solid player. He's a guy who's you can plug him in at certain minutes. He's a right-hand shot, and he's not going to hurt you. He's going to play solidly, unspectacularly, but he's not your best guy. And he'll fill a role. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a good signing. I know, when you have a run that didn't work as well as Nashville's did, everybody likes to look and say, okay, what's the catch? There's no catch with this guy. He's just not going to lead your team in scoring.
We talk with Elliot Freeman, 32 Thoughts Podcast. Now, Elliot, the Nashville Predators, as you know, spent the fifth pick on Brady Martin. Now, before the draft, there had been a lot of talk of them potentially drafting Martone or Higgins, but they go with Martin. What do you know what went into them drafting a guy like Brady Martin instead of a guy that is known to score goals in Higgins and a big guy in Martone?
So, I was pretty familiar with this Brady Martin story. Mm-hmm. Derek, I was invited to go spend the night at the farm the night he was drafted, but I was going to the draft itself, so I couldn't go. I followed this one quite a bit, and Derek, the interesting thing about it is when you look at his numbers or you look at his resume, you might not look at it and say, okay, that's the top pick or a high pick. But as the playoffs went on and the Panthers kept winning, I had a couple people say to me, this is going to be very good for a guy like Brady Martin. And I said, what do you mean by that? And he said, people are going to be Brady Martin would be a great Florida Panther. He would fit beautifully on that Florida roster. And someone's going to look at that kid, say, that's the kind of guy like a Sam Bennett, who you're never going to look at his point total and say, oh, well, he got 50 points. That's not very good. Like, what do you care about that? But instead, you're hoping that he has that kind of an impact. I'll give you another example. I don't think he'll be like a Brady Tkachuk. I think that's too high a ceiling for Brady Martin. But I remember when Brady Tkachuk was drafted, I think he had 8 goals in college hockey. And people ripped Ottawa for that pick. Even though he was a Tkachuk, they got ripped for that pick because he only had 8 goals his draft year. I think what people see in Martin is that he can be a player who maybe doesn't get a lot of points, but he's like Bennett in the sense that he impacts you with his physicality, his will to do things in a game that make an impact. That's what people who saw the prospects felt as they watched the playoffs, that he's going to be a kind of guy who's never going to lead you in scoring, but he will drag you into the fight. And if that's the case, he'll turn out to be a great pick.
Now, the Predators are weak at the center position. I understand. I know they went out and made some moves, but they're still weak at that center position. Is there a guy that they can identify? And I know that the free agency pool isn't deep, especially at that position. But is there a guy that they can target at potentially during the trade deadline?
I'll tell you this, Derek. It's like the really challenging thing with that right now is that there's 25 teams looking for centers. Mm-hmm. It is really hard right now. For Christian Dvorak, who signed a 1-year $5.4 million deal with Philly yesterday. Like, you wouldn't believe how many teams were going at that guy. You know, it's so hard to find centers right now. There's so limited stock available, especially good ones. We'll see how next year unfolds, Derek, and who becomes available. But right now the problem is everybody's looking for the same thing. Everybody.
Elliot, before we let you go, you reported several days ago as the Mitch Marner Vegas Golden Knights sign and trade was coming into focus that the Maple Leafs might go after the Golden Knights for tampering with Marner. Now that deal has been done, are you expecting any of that to come out of this?
You know what, Adam? I not from the Leafs. I think that, but it was someone called me after I talked about it on the pod, and they said that one of the things that happened was with the Maple Leafs was when they signed John Tavares, there was a brief investigation by the league. And Lou Lamoriello, who was the GM of the Islanders at that time, he called the Leafs and said, I didn't ask for this. As a matter of fact, when I wrote that the Islanders had the Leafs investigated for tampering, literally 10 minutes after that article was published, I got a call from Lou Lamoriello saying, you have incorrect information. And by the way, that's a terrifying call.
It
was the league that did it. And, you know, I'll say this, like, normally, Adam, as you know from doing this, once noon hits on July 1st, it's a flood of deals. They trickled in yesterday. They took a time. So I think everybody is sensitive to it. Everybody recognizes it's a thing, but I don't expect Toronto to complain, no.
Now, Elliot, before we get you out of here, majority of the GMs voted to have the draft the way it was this past year. Do you think because of what they saw, and I watched the draft at least the first round because I wanted to see who the Predators were going to draft, and honestly, Elliot, it was hard to watch majority of the time. So do you think the league goes back and say, hey, listen, we tried it 1 year. Now we're going back to the way we had it in previous years.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen. Honestly, Derek, I'll tell you, Derek, there's the great conspiracy theory that in the last little bit, Bettman, the commissioner, he's been very careful to mention that changing the draft this year was not his idea. It was the GM's idea. Mm-hmm. And the GM, one of the GMs told me they're now convinced that Bettman like sabotaged it. And now the GMs, if they ask for anything, Bettman's going to say to them, the last time I listened to you guys with anything, look what happened. So they're all convinced not only is the draft going back to the old way, mm-hmm. but the GMs are never going to get to do anything ever again.
Tinfoil hats. I love it.
Yeah.
Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL insider, joining us on the program. Elliot, thank you for all of your excellent insight this season. Willie, Derek, and I look forward to this conversation every week. Enjoy your well-deserved break, and we will talk in the fall.
All right, guys. Speaking of fall, Derek and Adam, have a great summer. Let Willie know. Have a great summer, and also a great summer to all the great hockey fans of Nashville. I know there's a lot of you, and we love you.
Thank you, Elliot. Elliot Freeman joining us on the program for the final time this season. Mm-hmm. Look forward to those conversations.
Love having Elliot on.
Every Thursday. There isn't a person in the hockey world who is more connected, more plugged in than Elliot Freeman. And it's a pleasure to have him on our program. It's been a few years now. It predates my time on the program.
Yes.
But Elliot Freeman, presented by Old National Bank, Get Old. We will catch up with Elliot in the fall. He gets a well-deserved break after all of the hard work he puts in during the hockey season.
Cottage-ish.
Yes. He does not own a cottage. But, you know, a lot of the Canadians now, they're at their cottages on some lake somewhere, mm-hmm. kicking their feet up, and Elliot deserves a break. He does outstanding work. 615-737-1025. We will react to what Elliot had to say there. A lot of interesting news and notes, not just about the Predators, but the NHL as a whole. We'll also take your reaction as well at 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, the game.
Okay. Heroes in a half shell.
Okay, Adam in Portland, you are correct. It is heroes in a half shell, not turtles in a half shell.
Oh,
now
man.
I'm hungry for some pizza.
Oh, yeah.
The turtles, they love themselves some pizza. So when you did you play Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with your friends?
Absolutely.
So were you Leonardo, Donatello, Michelangelo, Raphael?
Man.
Who were you?
Well, I played the video when you played the video.
The arcade first game.
No, I'm not talking about. I know what you're talking about. I played the original one where you went on a solo mission by yourself. You didn't
Ooh.
Have your friends. You have to go underground. Has to come out. From underneath sewage, and you had your little van that you were driving around. And what was her name? What was the girl?
April O'Neil.
April O'Neil was
yep.
driving you around.
And Master Splinter, and then Shredder.
Then Shredder.
Yeah.
And what was the guy named with the hockey mask? Not Jason. No. What was his name with the hockey mask? Gosh, I forget his name. But he became more of a fixture later. Fixture. Later on down the line.
Not Bebop and Rocksteady.
No, Bebop and Rocksteady was always there.
Casey Jones.
Yes, that's who it was. Casey Jones.
It's a good show.
That sounds like a
hit. We had a lot of reaction to the cartoons thing. Maybe we can run through those in a little bit. But another great conversation with Elliot Freeman, our final conversation with Elliot until hockey season approaches in September. But we did have a texter earlier. I believe it was Joel and Woodbury. Mm-hmm. He said he had a theory on the Nick Hague trade. And that so many people wanted Nick Hague that the Predators had to up the ante a little bit. And it sounded like that's what happened.
Yeah.
And Nick Hague signed a 4-year contract with the Predators. Elliot made it sound like he wasn't willing to do that with other teams that were interested in acquiring him. I still don't love the contract. I'm not going to excuse that. I still think it's an overpayment. But it all comes down to how Nick Hague performs.
Yes.
For as critical as I've been of this contract, Nick Hague has played in a lot of meaningful NHL games, a lot of playoff games with the Vegas Golden Knights. So that is an advantage that he brings. So again, I still don't love the contract. And I will need to be proven wrong by Nick Hague that he is worth that contract. But I am open-minded. Nick Hague, let me see. He's averaged 17 minutes and 13 seconds of ice time over 44 career playoff games. Mm-hmm. So, again, don't love the contract. I'm willing to give it a shot. I have an open mind.
Well, he's here. Your mind going to have to be open.
Four people texted in. Four people. I want to give a credit to Joey from Bellevue, Wes in Hermitage, Michael in Madison, and Todd. All texted in Casey Jones, one right after the other.
Casey Jones.
They all texted in at 1:26 p.m. So it was a coordinated effort to let Derek know about Casey Jones.
And we thank you for that.
Yes. That's why we love our listeners. I'm looking for this text. Jeff texted in earlier when I was going through my lineup, which was woof. One texter, Jeff, said, the Predators continuing to rely on Ryan O'Reilly to play above line two is less than ideal. They need a rookie to rise up or look at one of those teams above the cap to take advantage of. So when the Predators signed Ryan O'Reilly and he was their first line center 2 years ago, I said, okay, that's fine for this season. But 2 years from now, probably shouldn't be playing first line center, but that's how it's probably going to be because, frankly, the Predators don't have anybody else who can play first line center right now. And Ryan O'Reilly, still a reliable player in every situation. 5-on-5, power play, penalty kill, short, killing off an empty net, 5-on-6, 6-on-5, whatever you want to call it. Still a reliable player in all of those situations, but a low-end first line center at this stage of his career. But again, for those of you who missed it, here was my projected Predators lineup post-free agency. You tell me what you think. Forsberg, O'Reilly, Marchessault, Stamkos, Svechkov, Evangelista, Bunting, Halla, and either Wood or Kemmel or another young right winger on the third line. Smith, McCarron, and LaRue. On defense, Hague and Josi, Shea and Perbix, Molendijk and Barron, and of course, UC Saros in goal. To me, as I said earlier, Derek, that's not even a bubble team in my eyes. That's whatever the step below a bubble team is, that's what the Predators' ceiling is based on that roster on paper on July 2nd.
And I get a lot of it. You are basing on what happened in the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add, two or three new guys to this equation. I think it's two. Is it two or three? Two. To the equation. But can't we also say that, if these Josi's back fully healthy, I think that's the big question mark. We pray that he is, but Josi's back fully healthy, doesn't show any effects of, POTS. So he's back on. Stamkos, Shea, and Marchessault. More importantly, Marchessault and Stamkos. Shea, he needs to up his game as well. But most important, those two guys. If those two guys play closer to what we thought they should have played last year, with your line, you don't envision this team as a playoff team. And I know a lot of it is predicated on those free agents from last year to really kick into gear this year.
I certainly have more confidence in their ability to defend. But again, that's sort of a low bar to clear.
Okay.
Say what you will about Nick Hague and Nick Perbix, they are NHL defensemen. Mm-hmm. Nick Blankenberg, who played, 60 games last season, and good for him, should not be playing 60 games in the NHL. I believe he's 27 years old, and he played more games last season than he had played in any other point of his career combined. I think he had 55 games of NHL experience as a 27-year-old entering last season, and he played 60 games this past season. So, no disrespect to Nick Blankenberg, who, again, was a great story. But by the end, with so many people injured, Josi was out, and Shen was traded. I think Barry Trotz said yesterday that they were basically fielding a defense corps of Brady Shea and a bunch of minor leaguers. He may not have said it so plainly, but that's basically what he said. So again, this is when the NHL flips into off-season mode. It's possible the Predators make more moves between now and the start of training camp, but the roster we have in front of us now is probably going to be the roster that reports to training camp in 2+ months. And right now I don't have a lot of high hopes for this team. We will continue to monitor anything that happens, of course, but the roster we have right now is probably going to be the roster that the Predators enter training camp with. I want to give you a chance to respond to something. We talked about it with Jonathan Hutton. So Sophie Cunningham of the Indiana Fever, the WNBA is expanding to Detroit, Cleveland, and Philadelphia, correct? And Sophie Cunningham did an interview after shoot-around yesterday where she basically said, shouldn't you be consulting with the players on this? And she said, quote, I don't know how excited people are to be going to Detroit or Cleveland. Now, I've got a proud Michigander sitting to my right. The city of Detroit responded to Sophie Cunningham.
Yeah, they should have.
She said, or they said, quote, it, well, the city didn't do it. Somebody did it on behalf of the city. The city of Detroit Twitter account said, quote, the last time we were home to a WNBA team, the Detroit Shock, we ranked top five in attendance for five straight seasons, number one in attendance for three straight seasons, and set a single game attendance record of 22,076 fans at Game 3 of the 2003 WNBA Finals. Additionally, more than 775,000 people were excited to come to Detroit for the 2024 NFL Draft. Detroit is a sports town. We're sure we'll see the same excitement for the WNBA returning.
Again, maybe, and I could be completely wrong on this, she hasn't spent a day in Detroit or any significant time in Detroit, especially over the last 10 years, and the city has grown, where they put all the sports franchises right downtown. Again, you're not helping your sport when you say stuff like that. You know that, right? And hopefully somebody's telling her that, because, listen, the WNBA has been around for a while, but listen, wasn't nobody watching it. The talent has gotten a lot better. And obviously, Caitlin Clark leads the charge as far as, you know, the new, you know, the new guards in the WNBA. But listen, don't act as if, like, you know, this sport is just thriving and we have, you know, we're thriving so much that we can pick our places. And no, you're not at that point yet. You know, and when you say things like this, you hurt your sport. Like the Detroit Shock, they sent out their message saying, and that's why you need to do your homework on certain things, especially when it's pertaining to your league.
I want to say the Shock won three WNBA titles.
Exactly. So. And I understand what some of the players, what she may have heard from some of the new players or whatnot. But that team won, what, three championships. They just list all the things that they were, you know, tops in. Top five in attendance. Set an attendance record. Number one over three seasons straight of attendance. They've won championships. Why wouldn't you want to brand? Yes, it didn't work ultimately in the end. But women's basketball is in a better place now. I'm sure that teams would rather join the WNBA now rather than back then, because it was hard to survive, because not many people were watching it and they didn't want to invest in it like that. But now they have. So Detroit would be a wonderful place, I think, for a WNBA team with their brother sitting on the other side of the Detroit Pistons, because I'm sure they will play in the same arena that the Pistons play.
I imagine they'll play at Little Caesars Arena.
Exactly. Which so it's is, like right there.
Right. It's right down the road from, it's right down the street from Comerica Park.
Yeah, I they're think all in that area. And, the Red Wings, everything.
Right. You know, this is not Joe Louis Arena. They're not playing at the Palace.
No.
And I've only been to Detroit a few times for work. Like, I haven't spent leisurely time in Detroit. My wife was raised in suburban Detroit, so I know she's a proud Michigander as well. But because my father-in-law worked for Ford. But my experience in Detroit has always been pleasant. I know that this was a hot topic a few weeks ago when Stephen A. Smith was bringing up the stuff about Memphis. And, you know, it's I have no opinion on that because I've never been to Memphis. But I do think that people have a negative opinion on the city of Detroit.
Yeah,
it may be outdated.
I mean, she probably never spent any quality time in the city of Detroit. And for you, with a sport that is trying to grow, for you to sort of badmouth the city which your sport is putting a team in, well, it's going to be a red target on your ass. Best believe. I'm just saying, like, seriously, it's good. When I mean that, when you play, when that team ever comes and you're still in the league, when you play the Detroit
they'll
shot,
remember.
They will remember.
They will remember. Be on,
regardless of what team you're playing for, the Indiana Fever or any team, just so happened you might get traded to Detroit.
Ooh, wouldn't that be something?
That'd be ironic, wouldn't it?
That would be incredible.
I want that to happen. I do want that to happen. I want her to get traded to Detroit when Detroit becomes, when they, you know, roll out the team there in the Motor City.
If I don't know if they have, I imagine they have an expansion draft in the WNBA. Mm-hmm. It would be hilarious if Sophie Cunningham was the choice for the Detroit team. But we shall see. I wanted to give the proud Detroit native an opportunity to respond. Gino on our text line. Mm-hmm. About our cartoon conversation, said, before school, cartoons were all Looney Tunes for me. After school was DuckTales, Goof Troop,
yes,
Rescue Rangers.
Yes.
Didn't care for when they added.
Oh, I forgot about Rescue Rangers.
Didn't care for when they added Darkwing Duck. What's wrong with
Darkwing Duck was, oh my goodness.
Let's get dangerous.
What's wrong with Darkwing Duck? You brought back memories, man. With that whole list he just said.
I love Goof Troop, man. Report to the Goof Troop.
Bop-a-da-bop,
bop-a-doo-bop.
Yeah. Man, you're taking me back, man. Thank y'all. I appreciate that.
615-737-1025. Speaking of goofs, Jared Stillman will join us. Jared
a
Stillman.
Great segue.
Yes. That was awesome.
Jared Stillman will join us to wrap up the show next. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D. Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, 106.3 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, Stillman and Company. Coming up in about 15 minutes, but as usual, we bring in Jared Stillman a little bit early as we transition from our show to his. So, Jared, I know you did the same exercise yesterday. Robbie Stanley did this exercise. I did this exercise putting together our projected Predators lineups for next season. More or less, they're the same. And I look at it on paper and I say, yikes, this is not a great team. What does your projected lineup say to you about the 2025-2026 Nashville Predators?
My projected lineup says I absolutely raked your game of who plays where over the coals yesterday.
That wasn't all me. Jake did solicit some from me, but I was very impressed. I don't think I've ever questioned your hockey knowledge and said, you don't know what you're talking about.
I think you've thought it.
There have been times I have thought it, yes. But I was very impressed.
All right, give me and Derek one. Let's see if Derek can do this as well.
Okay. Oh, man, you're putting me on the spot here.
I am.
All right, let's see. I will choose. This is great radio. I will choose Matt Zuccarello.
Minnesota.
That is correct.
Minnesota.
You said it after the fact.
Let me say this on the lines as far as we're all concerned here. I mean, it does really feel like Barry Trotz's plan is to do the exact same thing they did last year and just hope it goes different this year. I mean, that's really what they're doing. That's what it feels like. You know, again, not to disrespect your favorite player, Nick Perbix or Nick Hague or whatever, but to me, that's all swap and spit. You know, Carrier and Fabro and Lazon are gone, and these guys are in.
I mean, I feel better about Perbix than I do about Nick Blankenberg playing 60 games.
But again, to me, that's all again, swap and spit based off of what they had last year. Trying Fedor Svechkov at the second line center, let's see if he can do it. That, to me, is the same as let's see if Tommy Novak can do it. They're doing the same thing. And what I find to be crazy is Trotz yesterday at the podium was talking about, hey, you know, we got to play defense first. Defense wins in the league. Watch the Florida Panthers. They play defense. And we all know what Barry Trotz was as the coach here of the Predators. It was let's play defense and try to poke a goal in, you know, here, there, whatever. But what the Florida Panthers did when they decided they wanted to be a defensive team like that was they fired Andrew Burnett. And Barry Trotz is keeping Andrew Burnett, so he's keeping the same coach. He's keeping the same core of players. And unless Brady Martin plays on this team and is a superstar from the jump, I don't really see a difference between last year's team and this year's team. And last year's team lost 50 games, so I don't know what to tell you guys.
If it were up to you, would Brady Martin be on the Predators' opening night roster?
Yes. Hmm. I would have Brady Martin up for the first 10 games and then go from there. Or first 9 games or whatever the rule is. I'd have Brady Martin up for the first handful of games. I'd take him overseas with me and go from there. And if he needs to go back to juniors, then he goes back to juniors. And Barry Trotz comes on this program and says, hey, look, you know, we wanted to give it a try. We wanted him to travel with the team overseas. No harm, no foul. He goes back to juniors. We'll see him next year. That would be kind of how I would play it. At the same time, the one I do wonder about is Mullendyke. You know, does Mullendyke come up with the big club next year or not? Or do you want him to play down at Milwaukee with Andrew Gibson and play first pair minutes? Because the way they talk about Mullendyke and Gibson is they view them as kind of the well, I'm trying to be respectful with what I'm about to say. The Weber and Suter of the future, I think, is kind of how they view him and Andrew Gibson. So, you know, do you want them playing together at Milwaukee and playing first pair minutes and first penalty kill and on the power play so that when they come up to the NHL, they'll have that experience? That I also think is a pretty important question, too, as far as who starts the year on the team. If you're trying to win, like if you are dedicated to winning next season, if that's the top goal is to bring the joy back, I think Brady Martin's the second best center on this team right now, and I think Tanner Mullendyke's one of the six best defensemen.
So, Jared, you like to say this to us, so we're going to say this with you to mm-hmm. say this to you. Somebody on this program has a bone to pick with you. That would be one Derek Mason. Derek,
it's
take
a,
it away.
It's a grievance. This is a small grievance.
A minor grievance.
Yeah, it's just a minor.
What
a,
in the world could Derek Mason be upset with me about?
I'm never really upset with you, but I do got a small grievance here. You and Caitlin Clark, okay? I think you are in sort of I think you're taking it just a tad bit too far. I think you're sort of, you know, taking this thing a little bit where it shouldn't go as far as, you know, listen, the young lady has only played.
Woman.
She's much younger than me. She's only played nine games. Nine of the what, Jared? 16 games this season, going on 17 before.
Sorry,
18.
Haven't been keeping up with the WNBA
and absolutely,
Derek.
And that is why I have a grievance to pick with you, because you haven't been keeping up with it, but you are in this mode of, because she wasn't named a top getter in the players voting for All-Star.
She was ninth.
How many games has she played? Nine. Her shooting has gotten worse. Her three-pointers have gotten worse, all while taking the same amount of three-pointers in a game, which is eight. She took eight last year. She's taking eight this year. She went from 35% to below 30%. I think she's at 29% now. So she's not having a good season. And part
so
of it is—
So you don't think she should be an All-Star?
No. That's not
you
what
You don't
I'm
think sa- she should start?
Okay. No, she shouldn't. She should, and that's not because.
Even though it's the All-Star game, and
you're
she's
not,
the
you're,
only star
you're not hearing,
that league
You're
has.
Not hearing what I'm saying. If it's just based on the games and the production, no, I'm not saying she doesn't deserve to be on the All-Star team. She does.
So help me understand something quickly. The voting is done by players and media and fans.
Yeah.
It's a combination.
It's just like the NBA does it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the same way.
So the players, so Jared, players. The players had Caitlin Clark way far down the
they
list.
They had her ninth.
Okay.
But she's still a starter.
I had a long discussion about this with Yahoo Sports WNBA host Caroline Fenton.
Of course.
And she thought that in just being totally fair and balanced, that Caitlin Clark should have been third or fourth in the voting for guards.
Not
ninth.
Again.
You know as well as I do, they're jealous of her, Derek. You know
it. Again. I'm not going to say, because I'm not in those rooms. I'm not those
Derek,
women.
Derek Mason.
I don't think they're jealous of. I cannot paint everybody with the same brush. So I'm not going to sit there and say they are jealous, which tells me her teammates
Derek
are jealous.
It's, James
do you, hold on.
Mason
do you think
first.
Her teammates are jealous of her? Because you say all the girls are jealous of her. Do you think her teammates are jealous of her?
Not Sophie Cunningham.
You think so you think everybody else on her team is jealous.
By the way, if you got a bone to pick with me, how do you feel about Sophie Cunningham?
Oh,
we just discussed this before
she
you came on.
She needs to sit down because of sport. How can, again, How do you? You switched me over now, Jared. You did it on purpose. You did it on purpose.
Yes, you did it on purpose.
You did it on purpose,
Mr. WNBA.
But no.
Also, speaking of which, Derek, you need to take this up with Caroline today. Uh-huh.
Okay.
She was ripping the Milwaukee Bucks today, ripping them for waving Damian Lillard.
He's hurt.
That's what I kept trying to say.
I said
this was the only thing they could do to try to win the East. And she's like, but they're spending all this money. I'm like, they were spending that money anyways. It's lost money. You can't get it back.
He tore it. What did he do? Tears the Achilles? Oh, yeah.
Lillard was an Achilles injury.
He's not going to be back more than likely till the middle of the season.
Well, and think about this, too. And again, I want you to have this conversation with Caroline. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the Eastern Conference, because I said to Caroline, I go, if Milwaukee wins the East next year, can Giannis request a trade? And she said no. Like, if you get to the NBA Finals and then you request a trade, you're a loser.
Yeah, you can't.
So we agree with that. And I said, okay, well, then why would you not go for it this year? And she was like, well, I don't think they're better than Cleveland. I'm like, Cleveland?
Yeah.
Cleveland?
Okay, I'm let me look at this. I don't think they're better than Boston.
Well, Tatum's hurt.
Yeah, that's another.
Tatum and Halliburton to me are hurt, so Boston and Indiana are out.
The Knicks are still a good team.
Don't have a coach.
They have one now. They have Mike Brown.
Mike Brown is their coach now.
Don Staley, not that didn't work out.
The Indiana Pacers are still there. They're not going anywhere. The Detroit Pacers have gotten better.
Pacers don't have Halliburton.
Geno.
Huh?
Were they interviewing Geno, the Knicks?
I don't know. But you got the Pistons. You have other teams outside of the few teams that were named after Milwaukee. Milwaukee know they're in a position right now that they're not winning a championship. They're not, especially not this year. They're trying to find, and Giannis is trying to find a way to get out of there because he knows the East is getting stronger. But they can get there, though.
They can get to the finals.
And nobody can, with a healthy, even though Tatum will not be back. If he is, it's probably the last half of the season. But you still got Philly. You still got the Knicks.
Philly.
You still got Cleveland. You got the Pistons who are getting better. Indiana, they're good.
Orlando. No, Indiana's out. Halliburton's hurt.
Gosh, you're right, man. You're right. I didn't even think about the Halliburton's injury. So you got two players on marquee teams that are injured and more than likely will not be ready.
To me, it's Cleveland and the Knicks, and I think it's a toss-up between Milwaukee and those three teams. And then maybe like a Detroit or an Orlando, you know, sneaks
Orlando, I think, would end up being a problem for Milwaukee. If Giannis is gone, which I'm not talking about
with Giannis on the team
this year. Giannis.
Yeah. He's going to be on the team this year. My thing with Caroline was – I didn't think that Milwaukee had anything to lose by doing this because if Giannis wants to leave after this year, if they don't get to the finals, then they'll set themselves up for a rebuild by trading Giannis and Miles Turner. And then when the Lillard cap hits are still hitting them over the years, they'll be bad anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Derek, you just uttered three of the most dangerous words in the English language. You're right, Jared.
Thank you.
That'll do it for
us. Did I say that?
You said you're right. I added the Jared.
Okay, there you go.
That'll do it for us today. Of course, Stillman & Company coming up next. Derek, enjoy your long weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday. I and Connor Newt will talk to you tomorrow at 11 o'clock.
Be love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, wonderful day and 4th of July. And hug and love and kiss on the people that's in your circle, people, okay? So enjoy, be blessed, take care, see ya.